Once again, Rav Hosai, let's summarize what we know and what we don't know. So we're in Shulchan Aruch, Sadites 99:5. And we derive the following conclusions. The Iser of Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chatchila has two parts to it. Number one is Ein Ma'arvin, which means that you're not allowed to create a tarovis and take meat that's nevela and throw it into basa shchuta. That you're not allowed to do. Number two, even if there's a given, the tarovis is a given, you're not allowed to be mosif, because that would be an act of bittul. By adding the heter, there's only 30 in the heter, you add another 30 against the iser, then you're being mevatel chatchila. The difference between these two halachos is regard to drabanos. Because the Gemara in Beitza tells us that with regard to Mukta Marbe Olav Eitzim Uchanim Umevatlam, you're allowed to artificially with your hands create bittul. And the answer is because you already have a tarovis. And when it comes to the Iser Mukta Drabonon, the only Iser is a Ma'arvin Iser L'chatchila. But to be mosif, that's already to save the heter in this tarovas. That we allow you to do. The Rabbanan hits hey mamru ve hey mamru, since they created this isur mukta or whatever isur Rabbanan is involved. They made a statement that you can add into the tarovas in order to save what? To save the heter that got mixed up. And that's not called a direct bittul. A bittul means when you take the heftz of the surah and you mavatal it. That's not what he's doing now. We redefine. Again, this is all a matter of magic. What do you mean, man? What do you mean you're not being mavatal? So you're adding 30 to heter to be mavatal. That's not called being mavatal. No. I'm not being mavatal, so I'm just saving the heter. But this is the way the Rabbana created a loophole in order, hey mamru ve hey mamru, to allow you to be mevat, so you have a piece of, in the case of yontiv, it might be a little different because you have an additional factor of simchas yontiv. You know, he wants to turn on his tanur and bake his bread or whatever he's doing there. But in any event, even if it's not yontiv, we're going to say that as far as the nisa drabana is concerned, nishkefela, it's not so terrible if you want to salvage all the heta. You know, we don't want you to lose a massive. Imagine if the heta is 59. And you're going to take and suffer a tremendous loss. Again, for Hefzi Meruba, we're not going to allow you to eat a mixture, even if the mixture is made up of Iser Derabanan. But what we will allow you to do is play around with the numbers here by adding Heter, and that's not called to be Ma'ariv, that's called to be Mosif. And that's what we have over here. Okay. Now the question that we want to address is the question of the Ramah. Okay, I don't know, we'll leave out the Ramah, just very quickly, Dog Fetishkach, it's not for us now. The Ramah wants to say that if you have a piece of meat that fell into one or two kederis, you don't know which of the two pieces of meat, then what you're going to do is you're going to mix the two kederis together. And the question is, isn't that a violation of Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chatchila? And we answered that this is a case of being Mosif, it's not a case of creating a Tarovus. The Tarovus was already there. Ella what? You cannot apply bittul till you physically mix them together. So that's just a tnai, and that's not called a maisa bittul, and therefore he's not violating the iser of doing a maisa bittul be a dayan.
It's mostly called when the heter is still rov al iser.
That's interesting. I don't know if we... Are you adding another element, or we discuss this? I don't remember.
No,
you're adding your own element. Right, because again, in the Ramah it says, "Hoy kan steik der shel het to nofel is l'toch achas mien v'ein your days to nofel emisav v'kidei levato l'sul yesh bem levato." He doesn't mention that there's rov here, and shtei mitzarfus levatlo l'fisha kol echad mehem shel adam echad fine v'os Ramah to be kolmakom ein la'ochlo ad shis arvenu yachad v'oz. Kvarnis batel ha isur. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I would have to go through that in
the Lashon of Mosif. It sounds like Mosif. You're Mosif on a rove already, but otherwise you're creating a rove. You're not being Mosif on a rove.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure if he's talking about. You have to go through the different, whether it's lach balach or whether it's yavish biyavish, I don't know.
Well, the thing with Eitzim is where he says clearly that
Eitzim is lach, yeah.
That's not what we're talking about, right?
Right. Okay. So let's go on, Rabbi Yossi, to the main discussion for this piece, which we were almost at the end, but we didn't quite, cross the finish line. And that is a machlokes about the person for which this bittul, which was in violation of the Isra Emavat, was implemented. That's called Mishan Isvatul Bishvilo. I don't have one word in English for that, but he was the beneficiary for which this bittul process was implemented. Now, again, you could have two different cases. You get two buddies, and I'm your buddy, so I'm going to be Mevatel Isur on your behalf. Or we could have a buyer and a seller. And the seller clearly wants to make a higher profit by selling something that has a greater volume to it, so he adds Nevela and he's Mevatel it. But he does it for the buyer, whoever that buyer is. Right now, it's anonymous. And here we have Machlokes in the Achronen. Point number one, let's go through. We have number one, the Marshal. We have number two, Chidusha Rabbi Kivega, the name of the Rivash. And number three, we have the Magen Avraham. A, B, and C. So A is the Taz quoting the Marshal. And he says the following, that when the Mechaber writes that in the case of a violation, a deliberate violation of Mavat L'Nisil Chatchila, it's also the mission is batel b'shvilo, says the Taz, that person has to be aware of the fact that this process was implemented on his behalf. If he doesn't know about it, lo yada mimenu, is then we wouldn't call him a mezid. He's got to be in some sense in cahoots with the mevatel, and he commissions the mevatel, or if he doesn't commission him, at least he knows that he's doing it on his behalf and he is going to benefit from it. That's called mishan is batel b'shvilo. Whereas Rabbi Kivega quotes the Rivash that if it's a seller and he says, "Kol misha yirtza liknos," here's the price for anybody, I'm being mevatel it for anybody who comes to pay my price, then everybody's considered mishan is batel b'shvilo. Anyone who comes forward and buys this taroves is going to be enjoined from eating the taroves. You can feed it to his dog maybe if it's not isuria, no, but that's the best he can do. So we have, what I call the mitzumtum and the wide broad scope. We have the mitzumtum, which is the marshal, and he's mitzamtum mishan is batel b'shvilo as someone who is to some extent part of this whole process of bittul. He knows about it, he knows it's being done on his behalf, and he's going to benefit from it. V'nichle, all this is his conscious mind. But if he's completely cut off from the whole process of bittul, then it's mutter. Whereas if you go with the Rivash is saying that anyone who buys this mixture, even though it was certainly not done on his behalf, but the seller is doing it for anybody who's willing to pay his price, it's also likulam. So that's mamish, a very extreme, polar, extreme machlokas between the Marshal and the Rivash. I'm not sure historically, but I think you can Google this. I think the Rivash would have been about a century before the Marshal. Maybe a little bit more, but not much more. Because the Rivash was a very late Sephardic Rishon. And in many areas of halacha, he was from Spain. I think he had a tremendous impact on halacha. The Marshal came from Poland, and he was already in a different generation. Anyway, getting back to the Shulchan Aruch says that Hamavashal b'Shabbos b'mezid osu lo liolam ulacherim mutu l'motzai Shabbos. Now again, if Yechiel was here, he would be yelling and screaming at me, why is it only in motzai Shabbos? And I told you, Phil, that I have to find an answer to that question, but, put it on the back burners. It's not, trust me, it's not going to undermine everything we say. It's a question that needs an answer, and it has to do with a separate gzera that we don't want to eat from something that was cooked and there was a malach that was done until after Shabbos. But basically, as far as other people are concerned, it's a chefzer that tera. We have to just be careful about Shemir Shabbos, but that's a separate issue. As far as the Isur itself is concerned, the Isur is only in the Hefza for the Mavashal, but not for anybody else. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have Avram wants to suggest that we should make a bridge here between the laws of Ein Mevat L'Nisal Chathchilo, where we have an Iser L'Misha Nisbatel B'Shvilo, and the laws of Maaseh Shabbos and Mevashel B'Shabbos, that anyone for whom this Bishul was implemented, and he's going to now benefit from this Bishul, he has to be Osur, there has to be a Knas on him, just like in the case of Ein Mevat L'Nisal Chathchilo, we have a Knas to Asrid on Misha Nisbatel B'Shvilo. And that's the Magen Avraham. So again, the Magen Avraham wants to close the gap between Ein Mevat L'Nisal Chathchilo and Bishul B'Shabbos. That in both cases there should be a double knas. One knas upon the Mevatel or the Mevashel, and the other knas on Misha Nisbashel or Nisbatel Bishvilo. The knas of the Maaseh Shabbos Avidumya, the knas of Ein Mevat L'Nisal Chathchilo. That's the Magen Avraham's perception. Again, if we have time to go through the Magen Avraham inside, we'll see that the Magen Avraham himself tries to justify the Mechaber, because the Mechaber doesn't seem to be flinching at all about this equation. He says, Mutal Acherim Melotzi Shabbos Miyad. And yet, the same Mechaber tells us that in the case of Ein Mevat L'Nisal Chathchilo, it's also L'Misha Mizbatel B'Shvilo. And the Magen Avraham tries to justify the Beis Yosef in his writings. Okay. Now, if we accept A plus B, right, we had A, B, and C, but we're going to now combine two out of the three. We're going to combine the Rivash with the Magen Avraham. We're going to put them all in one shot. And what's going to come out of that? That you cannot buy breads that were cooked on Shabbos. I'm sorry, let me go back. We'll talk about two things. Number one, you cannot buy any breads that were cooked on Shabbos by Jews.
Whether you know about it or didn't know about it.
Oh, so why? Because according to the Rivash says in Ein Mevat L'Nisal Chathchilo, if the seller is adding the nevela into the pot because he wants to expand his, how should I say, his profits, right? He's a chazabok, literally a chazabok. So he adds chazer into this whole mixture in order to jack up the price. Then no one's allowed to eat from that bittul. Says Rivash, if he is amazed to be mevatel isul chatfilo, and he's doing it on behalf of everybody or anybody, then we should apply the same logic based on the Magen Avraham, who has this bridge, to the case of Bishul B'Shabbos. So if you have a mafia, which unfortunately, tragically, is open on Shabbos, a Jewish bakery, you can't buy those breads. And those are the breads that can be offered on Sunday. And I mentioned to you last time that there'll be a problem in buying the breads on Monday as well, because of Reicha Milson, you have to know about the oven, and so forth and so on, because even if those breads are baked on Sunday, but it's in the same ovens that he baked the breads on Shabbos the day before, that's a serious problem if you hold again like the Rivash of the Magen Avraham and you combine those two together. Fine. So it's not really good news, because it means that in a professional Bishul B'Shabbos situation, when I say professional, I mean he's out there on the market,
mass production.
Then mass production, everything is going to be awesome. So if you want to buy Arnold's bread, you have to assume that the Jews were not baking.
And it's also the Olam.
Yeah, because the Jews are also, it's also the Olam, like the case of Bittul Iser. Again, I'm not equating Bittul Iser with Bishul on Shabbos. Bittul Iser is one thing and Bishul on Shabbos is another thing. But according to Magen Avraham in Hilchas Knas, we have to have a mirror image, an analogy between the two, and therefore in the Hilchas Knas, no one is allowed to eat this cholent that was cooked on Shabbos. Why? Because of the knas. But again, I'm talking about a professional cholent. That's not such a good idea. What example could we give? Let's talk about the mafia. No one's allowed to buy those breads that were baked on Shabbos, because the knas applies to mishin is nisbatel bishvilo, mishin is bashel bishvilo, and if it's a professional bake shop, then obviously everybody's included in Misha Nisbashel Bishvilo, and no one's allowed to eat those breads.
Again, yes, he doesn't need to have a yedi of that, even if it was Mishbashel
Bishvilo. That's the Rivash. The Rivash says that in Adam Bitel Stam, Lechol Mishayirza Liknos, Harehu Kamisha Nasa Bishvilom, the Osulaku.
Yeah, but he doesn't, in other words, he doesn't have to know that they
right. You know, sometimes, like, if you know a case of a ganav, you see, you know, you tell the ganav up front that after you steal this, I'm going to buy it from you. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but
like, go ahead and be mavatalis because I'm your first customer when you put it out on the market. You know, that's not the case.
Well, he didn't know he was opening a shop and sold together.
Correct. He might not know of anything. I mean, again, we'll have to tell him because according to Morgan Avram, he's not allowed to eat those breads.
Yeah, who's going to tell him?
I don't want to be the one to tell him because I'm telling you, if you're a Rav in such a community, you'll probably lose your job. I mean, can imagine a Rav gets appointed to a community, and the first thing he does as the new Rav is he declares we can't eat any of the breads on Shabbos. Any of the breads on Sunday because they were baked on Shabbos. Could you imagine what that means? So today, of course, it's a whole different story. I mean, you wouldn't even buy breads unless it says on it, you know, we are Shomer Shabbos and all the different Tudot and so forth and so on. But back in the day, I'm talking New York City 100 years ago, you know, it was like the Wild West as far as kashrus is concerned.
So you couldn't be the bottle of it either. In other words, you couldn't bake on Sunday and be Ma'ariv, the Lach Meheter with Easter.
Well, yeah, because again, even in Issa Drabbanon, there's an Issa of being Ma'ariv, you know. But if it fell into a mixture, then maybe we could be making. But I don't know how you're going to organize that. You're going to tell your parishioners, you know, your community. Well, if you buy the bread on Sunday from this bakery that's open on Shabbos, then make sure that it falls into a mixture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sir, but I know.
And then we'll allow you to eat it.
If the baker generally just throws everything into the same pot, you know, it just as it comes out, it keeps going into the same one.
Yeah, maybe right. But again, you know, you're talking, we're assuming that the production of bread is like a daily thing. So today's production is fresh bread, will be sold tomorrow. And tomorrow's production will, you know, baked breads will be sold the next day. You know, we got to get rid of the old challah. So we have to ship them off. And maybe the poor people will buy a slash price, but. You know, in terms of the marketing, it's got to be fresh kebab. It's got to be yesterday's challah, and even yesterday's challah is already a little bit old.
That's another thing.
Oh, wait a second. So now, because just again, I'm always pressed by time, because I want to make sure, as opposed to all the other times that we started this piece, that we finish it before Mincha.
Yeah.
You know, I know if at least one person is very marketed to be there when they start Mincha. Which is right. I'm the one who's the chote here. I'm the poche, but what can I do?
Aniva Ami.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to tell us, al pi lamdus, that he believes that there's a fundamental difference between Eim Avat L'Nisu L'Chatchila and Maisa Shabbos. I mean, we would have intuitively said Kal V'Chomer. You know, if something is Asur L'Chumra in the case of Eim Avat L'Nisu L'Chatchila, how much more so in the case of Maisa Shabbos when you're dealing with a Molocha D'Oraisa, Chiyuv Skila. And even in the case of the Vela, we're not really dealing with a Chiyuv Malkus because it is already in the Tarobas. And we're saying that despite the fact that it's in the Tarobas, it's Asur. He says name. Again, I'm not going to read all the words inside until we get to the last paragraph. That I want to read with you on the next page. But let me highlight what he says.
Where are we?
Yeah, we're at the bottom of Reish Pei Aleph, which it should have a bays on it. Bays.
Yeah.
And it should be towards the end. You'll see a paragraph that's with Rav Moshe.
Ah, that's Rav Moshe. Okay.
And this, by the way, made the rounds in its time. I don't know exactly what year, probably in the 1930s. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Moshe was Nifter in 35 or something like that. He says
this, this is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik?
Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father.
Oh, Rav Moshe, I thought you were Feinstein.
No.
I'm not that old.
This is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik.
This is a funeral.
Yeah. So he says the following. Let's make a distinction here between Maisa Shabbos and Bittul B'Yadayim. He says the following. If a man was in violation of Aleches Bishul, he deserves a knas. And that knas is a penalty for his violating Maleches Shabbos. And therefore, it makes sense that only he who was over the Isur Bishul, he should suffer that knas. He should be penalized for his violation of Shabbos, not anybody else. And in that context, you could say the following, that, you know, again, this is just Berzon talking, Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishomer, meaning, okay, so maybe his constituents, his potential buyers, are urging him, or his potential eaters, you know, are urging him to take this raw food and cook it on Shabbos. You know, they're eking him. What's the word I'm looking for?
Egging him on.
But nevertheless, Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud. You can't blame them. They didn't do any avera. They may have applauded his avera. They're sitting on the sidelines. I wouldn't give them shishi. But they're not considered royal knas. And therefore it makes a lot of sense that the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef in his commentary on the Torah, he writes that only the Mevashel is asur, but the Acherim mutar. Again, why he has to wait till Motzei Shabbos is an outstanding question. And I'm not bothered by that question. Oh, but now let's talk about the Isur of Mevatel, Ein Mevalin Isur L'chatchila. Now we're not talking about a knas. What we're talking about is to what extent are you benefiting from this bittul? The Isur, he calls it, is hana mia bittul. It's the benefit that you get from the bittul. Because as a result of the bittul, you're gonna be able to eat a whole glob of, you know, a slab of nevela meat. And he proves it. How does he prove that we're not dealing with a knas, but rather we're dealing from because of a maisa bittul b'aveira, but rather we're dealing with hana? He proves it from the dogs. What do I mean from the dogs? Right. He takes basa nevela and he mixes it with basa shchuta in order to feed his dogs. His dog is allowed to eat nevela last time I checked. So in such a case, he's allowed to do it even via dayan. He's doing a maisa of mixing together Isur with heter. How can you do that? If I took a video camera, you know, it would look exactly, the two cases are identical. In both cases, you see a Jew takes the vela, throws it into a pot of a basa shchuta. But the answer is, what's his purpose? We never said that you can't mix the vela with shchuta for the sake of your dogs. I mean, you can feed the vela to your dog. You can feed him a mixture of the vela and shchuta if you want to spend a little bit more money on the shchuta. Is bevada mutul lahash l'chakol biyachad l'tol kara achas af im yesh sham rov basa shchuta. The law I'm reading to be achad al yidei ashlachos arei mevatel basa and nevela b'meila over al isur de mevatel and isur chatchila. That's not so. The isur said de mevatel is only that he shouldn't benefit from the bittul. What does he gain from a bittul in the case of feeding his dog? On the contrary, he loses from the bittul because he's wasting his money on basa shchuta, which presumably is more expensive than basa nevela. So the nature of the isur and its definition is shelo lehenos mi bittul isur, that he's not let it benefit from the bittul. Ah, now we have to expand the scope of who's included in this isur. It's not just going to be the mevatel himself, because that would only be true if the isur was the bittul. The isur is not the bittul. The isur is to benefit from a bittul, to artificially create a bittul, and you're benefiting from it. And therefore, at the moment that he uses this tarobus for himself, a tarobus that was caused by a bittul in which they took Isur v'yadayim and they mixed it into a tarobus, that's awesome. Hence we understand the Mechaber's Pesach with regard to the Mevatel and Isur Achila, that those who benefit from it, and the Rivash goes a step further, he says any buyer on the face of the earth is enjoined from benefiting from this tarovis and this bintel. Where is he Like you asked me before, Alan, is he aware of the fact that they went ahead and they did this spittle? He may know nothing about it. But if he's buying it, again, we have to notify him. If he doesn't know, there's nothing to talk about. But once he knows that this purchase that he's making is a beefed up beef, you know, non-kosher beef because of bittul, then he's benefiting from the bittul. And therefore, according to Rivash, he's enjoined from eating it. Memela, therefore, kol she'eino nene mi'a bittul, for example, when he's feeding his dog, that doesn't come under the Easter of Mavatlan Easter. What did he gain from the bittul? He gained nothing from the bittul. And he's the one who's doing the bittul. And it's mutter. Why? How can you allow him to do the bittul, the same act as he... How can you allow that? But the answer is, he's not going to be nene from it. But I tell you, this is a gvaldige chiddush. I never would have thought of this. Maybe you guys would have. I'm not that brilliant.
Or maybe, it doesn't matter.
Do you hear what he's saying here, Rav Osai?
There's no way.
You can't tell me that the Mice of Bittul per se is also, like in the case of Bishal on Shabbos, he did a Melechus Bishal. Here, what are you going to tell me? The case of Machal Behema, it's also, we never found such a thing. He probably has Rias also in the footnotes here that there is a Heter to do such a thing. Not a Heter, I mean, it was never also.
Right.
But now in the next paragraph, Lafitte said he has a glitch. He says, I can understand now why we have to be machmir in the case of Mishnah Nisbato Bishvilo, because if he eats his taroves, then he's benefiting from the Maisa Bittul. Masha'en came in the case of a knas for the Maisa Bishul as an Averis Molochas Bishul, that knas is only on the person who violated Shabbos through this bishul. But now he says, "V'dafka lacherim mutul enos v'neishi efshalach shiva lachilosa ke ma'isa bittul ho'evi ein lo shum shaychus ma'isa bittul shebitchila." In other words, at this point, he goes back to the Taz, and the Taz had quoted the Marshal, and the Marshal says that you have to be in cahoots over here with the Mavatel. It's not just some sort of all-inclusive kol ha'olam iser, but rather it's only osur lebishen is batel bishvilo, which in this case, according to the Marshal, means that he was well aware of what was going on, that it was being, the bittul was being implemented bavuro v'nichale, and he's also very happy about this, meaning anybody else is not included in the Easter, even though everybody else is going to eat this taromas now, according to the Marshal. And he's going to benefit from the bittul. Mm-hmm. So Rav Moshe adds another, you know, I call this a backpedaling. You ever heard that phrase? And he says, dafka lacherim mutul lehenos. And I think I would add a footnote here that he's talking about the Marshal. I think. And this I find very difficult, honestly. Because what do you mean, Maisa Bittul? He just worked so hard to convince us, and I don't know about you, but I was convinced. I'm on board. I believe.
Yeah, he didn't have any idea.
That it's not the Easter is not the Maisa Bittul. The Easter is to be Nene from the Bittul.
But
these
he's
guys,
being Nene. What they're talking about, we're talking about.
No, so I'm asking, if he's being Nene, why isn't he included in the Easter? We're going quick to Marshal. The Marshal says only one person on the face of the earth is going to be awesome, besides the Mavatel himself. And that's the person who is, again, in broad strokes, in cahoots with the bittul. But everyone else on the face of the earth is mutter. Why?
Yep.
In other words, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's explanation is wunderbar if you hold, like Rabbi Kivega, the name of the Rivash. Why? Because everybody in the Velt who buys this tarobas is being netted from the mice of bittul.
Right.
But if you, I'm just pointing out, and I think he's aware of the problem, that if you hold like the Marshal, who limits Nisa to only Mishan is Batel Bishvilo, with all the embellishments, they knew about it, blah, 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 he's Nichole. Then anyone else in the world is allowed to eat this taros. Everybody's being Nen. I don't get it. That's why I think that, you know, in the Marshal's frame of reference, you're going to have to introduce the Maisa Bittul. And if the Easter is in the Maisa Bittul, then who's considered part of the Maisa Bittul? Well, if you did it for me, and I was aware of it, then I'm also like.
But only if you are sort of
vicariously, you know, participating in the Maisa Bit.
But only if you were Nana from it.
And I was Nana from it. Fine. Okay. Beletta tonight.
That's his
Nana.
That's the Nana.
Right. So again, if I were writing this piece, I would say that Moshe Soloveitchik's argument stands on the Rivash as opposed to the Marshal. That's what I would say. Oh, but here's where we stopped last week, and we go to the Marsh to the Rambam. So the Rambam says the following, quoting the Issa Behet. Asur limkos es hatarovis li Yisrael. It sounds like a kind of lifei-iver situation. In other words, either the Mevatel himself is doing tshuva, or someone else has this tarogus. He's not allowed to sell it to a Jew. Why? Because then the Jew will be nene from the bittel. Now, I don't know, maybe the Jew doesn't know about the bittel, so maybe he's a misasek, or I don't know what. Mashma, it seems from this Ramah, in the name of the Yisra Heter, the Hainu, Af im mocher lo bi osam domin. Now, see, he doesn't qualify. What happens if you have pure basar shkut without any admixture of basar nevelin, it costs 100?
Costs more.
No, I'm just throwing out a number. So normally, if you would add nevela and you beef it up, and then it's bottle, you would jack up the price. But in this scenario is that he's still selling it at the same 100 bucks. Be osam domim, he's selling it for the market price, which means he could have sold it to a guy. A guy would have paid him 100. He now wants to sell it to a Jew. Well, guess what? He's not making an extra pruta, so there's no extra profit by selling it to a Jew. Why does the Yisra have to say that he's not allowed to sell it to a Jew?
Maybe he means, first of all, they're not eating. Now he can't sell it for 100, he has to sell it for 90.
Okay, but I'm just saying, he wants to be medayek.
He just wanted the Shach. The main point is that he's not making any profit on this.
Right, and the Shach is saying that despite that fact, he still is not allowed to sell it to a Jew. He can only sell it to a guy.
It's neither. I mean, how can you sell it to a Jew?
Well, no, again, I don't know. When you say with neither, it depends. It depends on the machlok, the marshal, and the.
And the rivash.
And the rivash again, yeah. So I don't know. So I'm not sure which sheet. Anyway, let's see the shach.
Right.
So the shach makes a comment on this Ramah, and he says, Tema.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand this Ramah. Why? Vaprachsham, and also the prechodosh. Why does the Rambam make this blanket, unqualified statement that after the bittul you're not allowed to sell it to a Jew? It all depends. Is he making a profit by selling it to a Jew? Or he doesn't make a dime of a profit. He could have sold it at the same price to a guy.
Yeah.
And if the Rambam doesn't qualify, it means that there's an issur in all cases to sell to a guy. So the Shach and the Prechodesh are very naive here. They say, what do you mean? What's the problem? There's no benefit here. So no one's benefiting from this bittul. You see clearly that both the Ramah and the Shach were defining the Iser of Lemisha Mizbatel Bishvila in terms of Hanah. And here there's no Hanah. V'nir Eliyashiv didasa Iser v'hetuhi Sha'isa v'atisachatkiluhu Shalo lasos ima Iser ma'shalo ha'yochol lasos Shalo yidei bitul.
Right.
Just 1 second. V'af mechira Amnas lahachil Yisrael. Lo hayachal lasus kodesh shebitul asa isur. In other words, forget about the monetary profit here. Let's just ask a different question. Does he gain from the actual mechira? Meaning,
not mechira.
No. Just saying. Right. Wait. Just give me a second. Yeah. Sorry. He says the following. That. You have to ask yourself the following question. There's an action that he's doing. Would that action be feasible if there was no bittul? Meaning that he has a tarovus of isavet. He's selling it to whom now? He wants to sell to a Jew.
Right.
Well, the only reason why he, or how he could get away with such a mechira, how he could allow such a mechira, right, is through bittul. So it's the bittul that sets up the mechira.
Right.
Memela asu lasos kein achrei shebitlo. So again, he's not going with, as I would have said, going with the marshal. I'm sorry, with the rivash that, you know, no one's allowed to benefit from it. No. He's going with the marshal, which means that the isur is only the hana. Just one second. No. Just one second. That the isur is the bittul, right? The isur is the bittul, and now we look and see who's in cahoots with the mavata.
It works for both of them, marshal.
Let me just go one by one. So if you go like the marshal, and the isur is only to the people who are in cahoots, so then, just one second. Was he trying to? He's trying to answer the following question: that now that he's getting the same price from the Jew that he would get from the goy, so that he's not being nena from the bittul. He's not being nena from the bittul. The bittul didn't save or add a single penny to his profits. He could have sold it equally to the same at the same price to a goy. He's getting the same price from a Jew.
The price is not the point.
So the kasha is this. I'm trying to understand the shas kasha. The shas kasha on the Ramah is why should he be enjoined from selling it to Israel if he's not benefiting from this bittul? You know, again, it seems like the shach understood, like we saw in Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that the Israel is not the ma'isa bittul, but the Isur is to be nene from the Maisa Bittul. And in this case, what hanot does he get from the Bittul if he's going to sell it to Goyim and Jews? Yeah, but one second. Isn't he getting hanot from the fact that there's more volume here? What's the Shach's problem? Let's see again. V'tomol avashach im ha'yochol korli akum b'yosef domin hare lo nene mi bittul ha'isur. Well, why wasn't he nene for bittul isur? I mean, he
got more of it.
Yeah, he changes the volume. I mean, don't you buy meat by weight?
The shach's not considering that.
Why? He's saying hare lo nene mi bittul isur. What does it mean? Hare lo nene mi. Those are the words of the shach. I don't have it in front of me, but you'll check it out. Hare lo nene mi bittul isur. I'm not sure what he means by that. Lo nene, he could have sold it to a guy. Just one second. He could have sold it to a guy. Ah, that's it. So if he would have sold it to a guy, then he would get a certain, and he doesn't need bittul, right? Because as far as the guy is concerned, it's like preparing it for his animal. What difference does it make to the guy whether it's a vela or it's basa shchut? It doesn't make
it
a difference.
Bittul or no bittul.
Right? So in a sense, had he sold it to a Yisrael, right before the answer of the counter argument against the shach, then the shach is 100% right. He gained nothing from this bittul. If he sells it to a guy, right, the guy doesn't need bittul, so. To what extent, by selling it to the guy, did he gain for the bittul? It's much like the case of Behema. Oh, so the shach asks, how could the Ramos say that he's not allowed to sell it to Yisrael because he's benefiting from the bittul? After all, he could have sold it to a guy. What extra benefit would he have gotten by selling it to Yisrael? And now you're telling me he's nene for the bittul. He was allowed to do the bittul for the sake of a guy. He would get the same price now without any problem. And what, by selling it to Israel, he's getting a higher price, right? And then he's being nene for the bittul, but he's not getting a higher price. He's getting the same price. So he says, but he still was only able to sell it to Israel because of the bittul.
Yeah, but they could answer counter-wise, let him sell the...
Counter meaning to defend the shach now,
yes,
against Ramah.
Right. It, you could say, so what? So if he's not Aravid and he's not Mavatel, he sells the tarfis to the guy and he sells the good stuff to the yid.
Well, again, if he does that, then I don't think the Ramah asks it. The Ramah is only asked when he sells the tarfis to the Israel.
Yeah, but
even though it's bottle, but he's being nene from the bittul, which he wasn't allowed to do.
But when you say that there's some benefit, you have to show that there was no other way he could do it. Otherwise, it's not a benefit.
Right, there's no other way he could sell this tarfis to Israel.
That's not a good argument, because as long as he can sell it, it's the same to him. It doesn't matter. He just, his money is safe, and the amount of money is exactly the same. He sells to the goy, the tarfus, he sells to the yid, the other one. I, the fact that by doing this, he sells it all to one person, is my fatla. What does he care?
No, but again, you're defending the shach. We're trying to make sense out of the Ramah. The Ramah is saying, let's look at what he got at the end of the day. Again, he could have done it in many other ways, but the way he actually did it, he benefited from the bittul, because the way he actually sold this tarobas would only be possible if there was bittul. That's the Ramah. The shach on the other end is saying, well, you know, he didn't gain anything. He could have just as equally for the same price.
Right.
Okay, Rabosa, I just want to tell you what I'd like to do tomorrow. There's a piece here. There are two pieces. I'm not sure which one we're going to, you know, I'm not sure which sequence we're going to do it in. But there are two pieces here that caught my fancy, and I'd like to learn them with you if you're on board. One is called Shavya Nafshe Chatifa Di Sura, and I'll tell you in a minute what page it is. I thought I'd put a thing in it, but now I don't see it. And the other is a piece called Maisa Avera De Katan.
Maisa Avera?
Yeah, does the Katan have a Maisa Avera? Very, very fascinating question. So if you could make a note of it, maybe also if you have a way of writing this down for me, I'll give you a little piece of paper and a pen.
I have a pen.
Okay, Maisa Avera De Katan, that's on page Chaf Beis. And maybe you could help me, or maybe John could help me, and make a photocopy or two. And then I wanted to do, so I'm on the wrong page here, just give me a second. Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah, that's on page Lamed Hei.
By Maisa Cotton, what does he mean? Does he mean the effect on the cotton or the effect on the gun?
In other words, the cotton is doing an Avera, correct? Do I have to be Purishim and Mafreshim? Like, for example, I say he's eating the veil.
Okay.
And then Afkamin is whether his Shchit is a Shchit Ekshera. Why? Because in Hilchot Shchit we have a halacha of a Bar Zvicha. Bar Zvicha means someone to whom the Zvicha saves him from eating the veil. So if a cut would eat the veil, if you would assume he's part of the Eastern veil, then you could call him a Bar Zvicha. And we could justify the Machaber who's going to pass him, or the Ramah is going to pass him, that Shchit as Katan is Kshera. But if on the other hand you're going to tell me that the Mice of a Katan is not a Mice, right, then he's not even included in the Isin Avela. There's no way under the sun that he could violate the Isin Avela, and therefore he's not a Bar Zvicha, because a Bar Zvicha means someone who has the power to remove the Isin in the vein.
I can do it right now.
Okay, great. If you can make maybe be
Tichadish.
Yeah, thanks. I'm trying to learn how to use it. If you could help me with this, I'm trying to figure out how do I know how much battery there is. Can you see those bars?